The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon, NYCFC, won the MLS Cup, Tony. What's your favorite cup?
The Tony Kornheiser. Cooper Cup?
Oh, okay,
that's fair. Cup of noodles, maybe? How about the cup I wore when I was playing Little League? It's a hard call. I don't really know.
Does the name Irv Kupcinet mean anything to you?
Yes, he was a great gossip columnist in Chicago when you were growing up.
That
am
is
I correct?
Money that right? you got that. That is money, dude.
No, I know that.
Money.
Irv I know Kupcinet. That. He was like the Earl Wilson of Chicago, or the head of Hopper of Chicago. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Chiefs win, the Ravens lose more than a game, and Urban Meyer holds on for now. But we begin today with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Buffalo Bills. Tampa rushed out to a 24-3 lead at halftime, but Buffalo battled back to tie the game at 27 and force overtime. In overtime, after a Buffalo three and out, Tom Brady quickly found Breshad Perriman for 58 yards and the winning touchdown, and the Bills are now 7-6. They were beaten on the ground by New England last Monday and beaten in the air by Brady yesterday, but both games were very close. So, Wilbon, should the Bills be optimistic?
Well, unless they're playing in like the DraftKings league, no. No, nobody's paying off on close or beating the spread. They started, I think, 4-1 or something, so that means they're 3-5. No. No. You know, I understand Josh Allen's sentiments, publicly spoken, eloquently, emotionally. I get it. I understand it. And if you're playing in the rec league or flag football or in the dorm league, that's great. You feel great. You want to play with the guys you want to play with because they showed heart. No. The Buffalo Bills came into this season saying that, or at least acknowledging, that they were replacing the New England Patriots in division and that they were going to be big boys on the block to be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl. Tony, all that's in great jeopardy now. It's not done.
Yes.
But you can't know. They lost a game that they could have won. And if they didn't, if you don't want to say that, they should have been down 24-3.
So my feeling is that they can still make the playoffs. They can go 10-7, which I think gets them in. They have three games at home against the Panthers, the Falcons, and the Jets. They should win those games.
Should win those, yep.
I think what they miss is they're not going to get home field in Buffalo, where home field in a winner really means something. But I'll give you a quote by one of their players, Devin Singletary. This is a quote. It's heartbreaking about the game they just lost. It's the only way I can put it. So there is a scar there. There is scar tissue. Can they get over it? I don't know. They are in New England in a couple of weeks, I believe. And I think that psychologically, that is a must game for them. Because if they don't win that, and you know, I think that's a total must game. Don't you agree on that?
Tone, I think I agree with the first half of what you said. There's a psychological thriller coming our way if we watch that. But, Tone, they can't get out of the shadow of the Patriots. They can't. They don't even need Tom Brady to cast this shadow over the Buffalo Bills. I came into this season kind of rooting for Buffalo in that storyline, right? And then Tone is just gone. And they seem sort of forlorn in a way. Like they don't know what to do. Yeah. Like they can't get over it. Like, oh, we're just not good enough. We're the little team that couldn't. I feel bad for them. I do.
So I think you're right about that. I just want to get to Brady for a second.
Okay.
Here's what Brady did yesterday. 363 yards, 2 touchdowns passing, 1 running, no picks. Lifetime 33-3 against the Buffalo Bills. He is the MVP, if not for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
He's got great receivers, Mike, and he's got Leonard Fournette. And Tampa Bay leads the NFL in scoring, and the next closest team is 30 points behind him. So if they get defense, they can win again.
They can. They can. The Ravens lead in the AFC North is down to a half game after getting edged by the Brownies yesterday. And even that seems extra shaky after Lamar Jackson suffered a right ankle sprain. Tyler Huntley nearly pulled off the comeback after falling behind 21-0. But the Ravens now face the Packers, Bengals, Rams, and Steelers. Tone, where does the loss of the game and the uncertainty surrounding Jackson now leave the Ravens?
Honestly, I don't think they've been that good with Lamar Jackson this year. Their offense, they average 23 points a game. And a lot of that is Justin Tucker. That's not a Super Bowl offense. In the AFC alone, and I looked this up today, they're way behind Kansas City and the Chargers and the Patriots and the Bills and even the Bengals in offense. Mike, they lost their running backs in preseason. Their defensive backs are hurt all the time. I think they're in worse shape than Buffalo. I honestly do, in terms of what their future holds. You mentioned those four games.
Yeah.
Two of those games are probably going to be losses. And if you look in division, Mike, and we make fun of that division all the time, you always say Cleveland stinks and Cincinnati's stupid, and we say that Pittsburgh's done. But that's the only division where everybody is at least at 500. It's tough to win a game in that division.
It is, and they're beating up on each other. And, Tony, there's a certain quality to it, I will admit to, even though I say those things to you particularly. I think I left a screaming message on your voicemail in the 4 o'clock hour yesterday. And so, yes, you repeat that story with 100% accuracy. But, Tony, I think they're sort of with the Bills. I just think they're sort of all in the same space. I don't trust any of them at this point. I mean, the Bengals do stuff, and you just go, come on. What are you people doing? This is just like, and sometimes they're really well coached. They've had Marvin Lewis. They've had Sam Weiss. You can go back over 100 years with them. But with Baltimore, Tony, when you got a quarterback, in the NBA, it's usage rate, right? When you got a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, who has to do far too much for that team,
right.
And now even if he's going to be okay and his coach expects him to be out there this coming weekend and play through that sprained ankle, is he going to be the MVP player from a couple of years ago?
Well, no.
I don't think so.
No, but Mike, he hasn't been the MVP player this year.
No,
in the last four games prior to this game.
Yeah.
He's got eight interceptions, six touchdowns and eight interceptions on the course of the year, Mike. He's got 16 touchdowns and 13 interceptions.
Yeah.
That's not an MVP number.
No.
His quarterback rating puts him between Taylor Heineke and Jared Goff.
Tony,
and he's been sacked 38 times.
Nobody in that division is good enough. I mean, we're going to pay attention because somebody's got to win the division, but they're not good enough to charge in January and February. No.
I don't think so. Let's move to the Kansas City Chiefs, who bombed the visiting Las Vegas Raiders 48-9, 35-0 in the first half. Now, the Raiders may have made a mistake going out to the Chiefs logo pregame and stomping on it. Wilbon, your dynasty of one has won six games in a row. So what is your opinion of the Chiefs today?
Before I get to the Chiefs, I got to take a shot at the Raiders. Seriously. I mean, could you be more imbecilic than their behavior was yesterday? They behaved like morons, and they got exactly what they deserved. They've been beaten up by the Chiefs 41 to whatever it was in the previous game this season. So let's go and antagonize them in what may be the best home field advantage other than Lambeau, and maybe even as good, in the league. Let's see. Let's show how stupid we are just organization-wide. It's just sad. And they've had tragedy. They've had other stuff that you can't put on the players. Now, still, the Raiders can't get out their own way. Now, the Chiefs, Tony, good. They're still a dynasty of one. That's not a dynasty to me. They got a lot of ground to make up, and they're making it up well. They seem to have both sides of it going finally. Years ago, a couple years ago, it was just the offense. They didn't really care about defense. Then the defense was smelly. Now the defense got better and led them back on the way to this path of X number of games in a row, and the offense is now coming along too, although they don't put it all on Patrick Mahomes. Good for them. Good for the Chiefs.
So just to underline how stupid what the Raiders did was, it's okay if you beat a team like you did last year and then you use the buses and you take a victory lap around the stadium, but you don't do it pregame. You do that postgame because it antagonizes people. The Raiders have gotten beat this year by the Chiefs. It's 89-23, Mike. That's 45-12 per game. That's domination, Holmes.
Yes,
this is the largest margin of victory ever in this series. And prior to this, these two teams had played 125 games. The Raiders are dissolving before our eyes. They lost their coach. They lost two very important players to terrible circumstances. I'm sure everybody's trying, but it's gone. I like the Chiefs right now. That defense that you spoke of in this winning streak – 65 points allowed in six games. That's 11 in a game. Mike, that wins in any league.
Yes.
That wins in any
you
league.
You know, the Raiders going to change their motto now to just be stupid, baby. Maybe that'll be it.
That would be funny.
Because that's what they've been.
Just be stupid. Yeah. Be great. Let's take a break. Coming up, your Cowboys
went
up big on the football team and then held on for the win. So how should they feel about their performance?
And will the Jaguars stay committed to Urban Meyer? Wow. How quickly we changed that. We flopped that question. Are they going to stay committed to him?
I mean, if they make the Super Bowl 3 years in a row, it's hard to make fun of him. You would never make fun of Buffalo with four in a row, even with four losses.
No,
you wouldn't
four
make
in a
fun
row,
of
though. I, you know.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Truly Hard Seltzer, part of Happy Hour.
It's mail time. You write the questions, but we cash the checks.
Yeah.
Let me see what's
mail
first here. Here we go. How good should the Cowboys feel about their win over the football team?
They should feel They feel okay. They won a game. They won a game on the road against that once-hated rival in a place where it was once tough for them to win. Yeah, but they were, Tony, you know, people get on Mike McCarthy, and I tend to just roll my eyes. I get tired of the blame Mike McCarthy talk. And then after watching that game yesterday, I just thought, yeah, pile on him. Pile on him while he's down. Because they just did stupid things. I mean, Dak was not great. That's not the coach's fault necessarily. But Washington had every chance. Tony, the game was on their racket, you know. They started by missing the point after, which was just, like, regrettable. And then the backup quarterback decides to take a shot. Ron Rivera, why are you letting your backup quarterback take a shot? Just matriculate the ball down the field and win the game. So I hate these two teams a lot. But the Cowboys, they should feel all right, just all right.
So I think winning is always better than losing.
Yep.
I think winning on the road is always good. I think winning in division is always good. They're 9-4 and they're 3-0, so I will say good, good, good. But the specifics of the game were not good.
No.
Dak Prescott against the 30th-ranked pass defense had one touchdown and two interceptions. And as you say, if Washington doesn't fumble with 3 minutes to go, maybe they go down the field. Maybe they force this game into overtime. So if I'm Dallas, I'm not going to brag about this. I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm going to take the win, and I'm going to get on the plane
get
and go
out
home.
Get down, baby.
Because it
yeah.
They were
yes.
very lucky. They were lucky
yes,
to win
I'm
that game.
Yes, I'm tired. The Cowboys, last week I said they too often are choking dogs. They were right up in choking dog territory with three
That's
minutes
right.
to go in that game.
That's right. Are the 49ers a team we need to start looking at or taking seriously?
No, they're not. They're one of those mini teams, Tony, that's got a certain number of wins. Whenever 24 teams have this, and it's a record for this state. There's no record.
Right.
The mediocrity of the season is exciting to me because it means all these games just can go either way. And, Tony, I mean, Cincinnati, which, you know, still does dumb stuff, they should have probably won this game. And Jimmy Garoppolo, to me, is not a guy that I look at now and say, oh, yeah, he's going to lead them back to another Super Bowl. I realize that, you know, he's been in that territory. He's been that kind of guy once. Maybe you see that from the 49ers. I don't. And so, therefore, I don't. Deebo Samuel, by the way, my God, is he great. But the rest of them, eh. They're another team.
All right. So they've won four out of their last five, I believe. And in those games, Garoppolo has 9 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. In the overtime yesterday, he was 6 for 6. And let me say that play by Brandon Ayuk when he dove for the pylon, that's the most exciting play of the entire day. That was the thing. We disagree on Garoppolo. I think he's sneaky good. I think the 49ers are sneaky good. He's 31-13 as a starter in the NFL. Do I think you have to fear them? They've got 2 very tough games coming up. They've got the Titans and they've got the Rams, and they're both on the road. That could keep them from the playoffs.
Let me tell you, you have to fear. You better fear Michael Pollack, okay? You better fear him. Michael Parsons, because Tony, he looks like the second coming of Lawrence Taylor. And I say that as I bow my head to Lawrence Taylor, the most disruptive force, maybe he and Dick Butkus, in the history of football. And this kid, Parsons, Tony, he's a game wrecker. He seems like he's that great. I don't know if the rest of the Cowboys are worthy of him, but why isn't he the MVP?
We stopped on the Cowboys 4 minutes ago. Can we move on? Thank you.
Do you think Urban Meyer
will really be back with the Jaguars next season?
Yeah, I sort of do. I don't think the Jaguars are going to dump him. I know they got shut out yesterday, but I think they've been increasingly competitive. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure somebody will try to quantify that and go to some ridiculous statistical measure. I watch enough of their games to know that until yesterday, they've been competitive. And I don't know, maybe 4 of the last 6 games, and they'd won a game. Look, they need to have some stability there, which means they don't need to be running him out of Dodge. If he wants to leave, okay, you may let him go. You get out from under some money. You bring in some hot young assistant coach, some coordinator you think can lead you to the, I don't know, the halfway to the promised land. But I don't think that they're going to dump him. What do you think?
It's been a disastrous season for Urban Meyer. He made very bad hires, and he made them arrogantly. He didn't accompany his team when they went 0-4 back to Jacksonville.
That was bad.
He stopped at his restaurant in Columbus. We all saw that video. It is alleged that he's called all his coaches losers and that he got in a shouting match with a player. He denies that. What he cannot deny is his team stinks right now, and his number one overall pick, with 9 touchdown passes and 14 interceptions. That's not, you know, it takes a year or two, but that's not a good thing. Look, I would not fire him either, Mike. I would not. Maybe he wishes he took the Notre Dame job or the USC job. Yeah. I'd give him at least 1 more year unless he wants to go.
Unless he wants
that's
to leave.
Possible.
Yeah. It's possible.
He might say, this is not for me. That is conceivable to me.
That would be a real 180 from what he's saying now, but it wouldn't be the first time we've seen a college coach go in that direction.
Nick Saban did
it.
Enough emails. Let's take one last break. Still to come, how concerned should the Packers be about Aaron Rodgers' toe injury?
He ain't injured. I don't believe that. The NBA postpones the Bulls' next 2 games after an enormous COVID outbreak. Thank God for that. We have no players. Michael and Scotty and Dennis and Steve not walking through that
door. Cowboys. Yeah. We had finished with the Cowboys.
I needed to acknowledge Micah Parsons. I needed to acknowledge him.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 52nd birthday, Sergei Fedorov. Fedorov is the greatest retired Russian hockey player. He was on 3 different Stanley Cup champions with the Detroit Red Wings. In 1994, Fedorov became the first European-trained player to win the MVP. He was the first Russian player to get 1,000 points, and he finished with 1,179. But Fedorov is not the greatest Russian player. Alex Ovechkin is. Ovechkin has played his entire career with the Washington Capitals and now has 1,364 points. Ovechkin's 750 goals leaves him 144 behind Wayne Gretzky and 264 ahead of Fedorov, if you're counting.
You know, I'm counting something else. I'm counting Stanley Cup rings. And Ovechkin is undeniably great, Tony, but he's led his team to
one appearance, one
win. Fedorov, three wins. What is that about? He's got the rings jammed in his ears and he can't hear anything else. You don't need to hear those other numbers
Patrick
if you're Fedorov.
Happy anniversary, Detroit Pistons and Denver Nuggets. On this day, 38 years ago, these teams combined for the NBA record of 370 points, breaking the record of 337, which was set the year before by the Milwaukee Bucks and San Antonio Spurs. Both games went to triple overtime. In this one, the Pistons won 186 to 184. Chuck Daly coached the Pistons, Doug Moe coached the Nuggets. Isaiah Thomas scored 47 for the Pistons. John Long had 41. Kelly Trepucka had 35.
Man.
Kiki Vandeweghe had 51 for Denver. Alex English had 47. Imagine being Trepucka, getting 35 and being only the fifth high scorer in the game.
Yeah, I'm going to say this about Alex English. You should have been voted a top 75 player. Alex English, perhaps the greatest player in the history of that entire franchise that's had a lot of great players, and he got overlooked and overlooked time after time again. I just feel bad about that. Alex English, great player, great guy. It's just too bad he's not on that list.
Happy trails to Ohio State for Quinn Ewers, the former five-star quarterback recruit from Southlake, Texas, who passed up his senior year in high school to enroll in Ohio State, is transferring back home to Texas, where he once committed and then decommitted when Tom Herman was fired. Ewers signed a name, image, and likeness deal that reportedly paid him $1.4 million.
Good for him.
But he didn't throw a pass at Ohio State and found himself behind C.J. Stroud, a Heisman finalist. Ewers will have 4 years of eligibility at Texas, which may be more than Steve Sarkisian has as Longhorns coach after 5-7 this year.
It's a great point, Tony. I mean, there's not much doubt, though, that that young man could wind up in the transfer portal. Is there when you move around like that? And by the way, I'm not saying that to take a cheap shot. Whatever means are available to you, use them. They're within the rules. I'm just saying, who's going to be surprised if he does?
Transfer portal better get larger and larger because so many people are going in it. Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
The NBA postponed the Bulls' next two games after a COVID outbreak has sidelined 10 players. Your thoughts?
Well, no players. Who's going to walk through the door? Michael and Scotty and Kukoc and Rodman and Kerr? And no, I mean, what are you going to do? They're off for like a week now until the Lakers come to town. Alabama quarterback Bryce Young won the Heisman. You like that, don't you?
It's the only choice. He's by far and away better than everybody else. Yeah, sure, it's the right choice. Aaron Rodgers says his injured toe feels worse after the Packers win over your Bears. Is that a big deal?
He was so great last night in reestablishing ownership of the Bears. When I saw that clip, was he joking? Is it tongue-in-cheek? Is his toe really worse? Why would he admit that anyway? I don't understand. Baylor crushed Villanova, is now ranked number one. Is that significant?
Villanova was ranked sixth. They were held to 36 points. Yes, that's significant.
Like 1985.
Last one, Monday Night Football. Rams at your Cardinals tonight. Who you got?
I think the Rams, even without Jalen Ramsey and Tyler Higbee, may win that game. I'm rooting for the Cardinals. A little worried about the Rams coming back to split on the road.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Shout out to Rob Lobritz.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads.